You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Fuck the Jets.
Hello, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the same old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Brain, it is a damn good thing that football games are not won and lost strictly on vibes. Because right now, the vibes in Miami Dolphin camp are at not an all-time low, but at a really big low right now, probably lower than they've been at any point during the season. And the vibes, meanwhile, in New York are as high as they've been, probably since before Aaron Rodgers got hurt. So it's a good thing that this game is not going to be decided on vibes, but it's going to be decided out on the field. And we are going to preview it here today on the same old Dolphin Show. So thank you for being with us. If you're watching live on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, if you're watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, thank you for joining us. Smash that like button if you would be so kind. We appreciate it very much. Make sure you tell your friends, share, like, and subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live. Follow us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I am at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. Brain, we've talked and talked and talked about how awful the game was on Monday night. It's time to turn the page now. And of course, as we're turning the page, you know, in a book, you turn the page, it's a whole new page. But depending on the book that you're reading, as you turn the page, there's still lingering effects from the pages that came before. And that is certainly something that the Dolphins are dealing with right now. As we mentioned on the last episode of the show, Connor Williams, out for the year with an ACL tear. And now the news is that the injury bug continues, because we also have an injury to Liam Eikenberg, who was apparently spotted again in a walking boot, dealing with a calf injury. So now, the Miami Dolphins have signed two players, Jonathan Harrison and Matt Skura. Matt Skura, who was previously with the team for 5 months in 2021, signed in March of 21, released in August of 2021. He previously played some center and guard with the Baltimore Ravens. He's been brought in to the practice squad. But Jonathan Harrison signed to the active roster and is apparently already taking snaps and preparing potentially to start at center this week for the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are apparently also working out Lester Cotton at center. The man has never played a game of football professionally at the center position. Brain, we're going to get into what the Dolphins need to do on both sides of the ball here, but I don't think there's anywhere else that we can start than the offensive line and the, let's just call it the situation, because it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty.
No, it's concerning. No matter who you have at center, if it's not Liam Eichenberg, it's going to be the first game ever where you're going to have Tua taking snaps from that center. So it might be Jonathan Harrison, who at least, you know, has a track record of playing center, but hasn't done so, you know, in a regular season game in what, 4 years? And if it's Lester Cotton, he's never done it. So it's very concerning for a team that has had snap issues lingering for the last couple of years. So you can't help but be a little bit worried about that. Obviously, you know, if you end up with Lester Cotton at center, then what does that mean for your other guard position? It's kind of a mess, and you don't know if you're getting Teron Armstead back. You know Austin Jackson's going to be there, but is it going to be Kendall Lamb on the other side? Is it going to be Teron Armstead? If Teron Armstead goes, do you move Kendall Lamb inside, or do you stick with Robert Jones and Lester Cotton at guard? There's a lot of moving pieces, but at the end of the day, what it is it's not ideal, but as long as you don't have like major snap issues, I think you can get by with it, but you're going to probably have a pared down offense because of it. And so it kind of just puts the onus on, and really at this time of year, the onus is always on your best players. And, you know, obviously there's questions about whether or not Tyreek Hill is going to play, but I consider Tua Tagovailoa one of the best players on this football team. I consider Jaylen Waddle one of the best football players on this team. I think you're going to rely on those guys. And I think, frankly, like if Teron Armstead can go, this would be a good week for Teron Armstead to go. So that you can mitigate some of those issues on the offensive line, because he's another one of your best players. And at the end of the day, you just need to find a way to have a clean game and put some points on the board. And you're just going to hope that it's enough. This is a game where this doesn't have to be pretty. This doesn't have to be a two-score game. This doesn't have to be impressive. At the end of the day, you just got to find a way to get the W in this one and hope that you get healthier going down the stretch for the gauntlet that is to come.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it. So the offensive line is a mess. We have no idea what that's going to look like. It's true that the Dolphins have been apparently working Kendall Lamb out a little bit at guard. So if Armstead does come back, maybe you can keep Lamb in there at guard and you can see how things go from that perspective. I guess we'll see. The other concern is, of course, whether or not Tyreek Hill is going to play in this game. Of course, Devon Achane now has a toe issue as well. So we don't know what his status is going to be. The Dolphins, it seems like they're taking a very pragmatic approach this week. They, on Thursday, rather than doing a regular practice on Thursday, they did a series of walkthroughs instead. So there was, it wasn't an actual practice, but both Tyreek and Achane were estimated to be DNPs for that walkthrough. So if it had been a practice, they would not have participated. And so it remains a mystery, at least as we're live Thursday evening. It remains a question about whether or not we're going to see Tyreek or Achane. And so I guess the best place to start is the offense, because it was for most of the game against the Tennessee Titans on Monday night, it wasn't the defense that was overly concerning. It was the offense. And how out of sort they were, obviously working behind a makeshift offensive line, and then for large segments of time without Tyreek Hill, Tua did not look great. And, you know, we don't need to get into the whole MVP conversation, because that is not in terms of Tua Tagovailoa, that's not a valid conversation anymore. This was a rough performance from Tua, but you don't need him to be an MVP. You just need him to go out there and be capable and just execute. And while he was in fact behind a makeshift offensive line, there were moments in this game where he did not look terribly strong as a quarterback. When he lost that fumble, it's like anytime anything goes just a little bit off script, not 100% of the time, but a lot of the time when things go off script, it's panic time for Tua Tagovailoa. And that set in. The other issue here is one of the longstanding questions about Mike McDaniel. At the beginning of the season, Brain, when we did our episode about things that we need positive, we need the answer to be yes for the Dolphins to succeed this season. One of the questions was, is Mike McDaniel going to be able to pivot to plan B or potentially plan C when plan A is not available? Well, as we saw against the Titans, for much of that game, plan A was not available. Just so happens that they managed to put themselves in winning position and the defense fell apart. That's not on McDaniel, that the defense fell apart. But he's the offensive genius. There's a reason that that offense didn't look good when Tyreek wasn't on the field. So now knowing that Tyreek has got this ankle injury and that there is a real possibility that he may not play this week, what does this offense look like? And can this offense succeed against the tough Jets defense? A tough Jets defense that the Dolphins did succeed against just a few weeks ago on Black Friday. But it wasn't their strongest game. But Aaron, where did this team have a lot of success in that game? Running the ball. They ran the ball. And they ran the ball for 101 yards in the first half against the Titans. And then in the second half of the game against the Titans, 57 yards. So can he stick to the run game against this Jets defense? A Jets defense that is very good at shutting down the passing game, but not so effective at shutting down the run. And remember, last time the Dolphins played the Jets, they didn't have Achane either. And it was Mostert and Jeff Wilson, and both of them cooked in that game. So Brain, for me, first and foremost, when the Dolphins have the ball, they got to run. And they got to run well. Because they managed to do that even behind that beat up offensive line last week as well.
Yeah, and I think you've got to run the ball and you got to lean on that. But I think running the ball with this offensive line is going to look different than what it would look like, you know, if you were healthy. That said, they've had success with it. They had success with it even, you know, with Connor Williams going out of the game last week. So I think you have to lean into it, especially if Tyreek does not play. But I also think you can't just get into like this scared. You can't go into scared football. You can't go into it saying, well, I don't trust my quarterback to make a play. Because if you don't trust your quarterback, then that's going to have longer lasting impact and it's a bigger issue. I think you need to devise a game plan. I think you need to look at what happened in the Tennessee game and understand like how to make your adjustments from there. When Tyreek went out of the game, what you saw was Tennessee got a little bit more aggressive on the perimeter with the Dolphins wide receivers. Suddenly they weren't so worried about getting beat deep. They were a little bit more physical and they were able to get Tua off of his first read. And that made Tua have to pat the ball a little bit, hold on to it a little bit longer. Also at the same time, they put some pressure on him. So they drove Tua off of his spot and that both of those things, like this whole idea that like, oh, things go off script and Tua panics and he's not good. Literally every single quarterback in the league, if you take away their first read and you put pressure on them to make them move off of their spot in the pocket, they are going to be less effective. That's just football 101. Excuse me. But does he need to be better? Absolutely. Does Mike McDaniel need to have a better game plan? understanding the limitations of the offensive line right now, and the question marks of, as far as whether or not Tyreek Hill is going to play, or if he's going to play, is he going to be on a snap count? Those things are all valid. I think that they'll have a better plan, but I also think that the Jets have a really good defense. And you need to, there needs to be, you don't want to play scared, but you also need to have an added emphasis of not turning the football over, because this is definitely a game where if you turn the ball over a couple of times, it could cost you the game. Because you are limited offensively because of the injuries. I think defensively, look, the Jets are still extremely limited offensively. I think Zach Wilson is better than whatever. I don't even remember the schmo that we played a few weeks ago on Black Friday.
Tim Boyle.
Like, Zach Wilson's a better quarterback than Tim Boyle. And so, but not by a whole lot. So, like, there's still going to be opportunities for this defense to create turnovers. This defense is still, even if Javon Holland doesn't play, even without Jerome Baker, without Jalen Phillips, this defense is still really good. It's really talented and should be able to hold the Jets down, you know, around that 13, 14 point area. And so if you're the offense, how do you get to 20? That's really, to me, this is a race to 20 points. If the offense can put up 20 points in this game, I don't care how they do it. I feel confident that they'll win. If they don't, then if they don't spot the Jets' points with their own offense or with special teams.
Yeah, I think if you can, it really puts the importance on playing a clean game here. We've talked about it. The Dolphins in all of their losses, maybe not so much the Buffalo game because they just got their butts kicked in that game, but against Philadelphia and against Kansas City and against Tennessee, the Dolphins shot themselves in the foot. And shooting themselves in the foot cost them. You know, obviously the sequence of events changes if the Dolphins don't fumble the ball deep in the red zone on that first possession. There is a different sequence of events if that field goal doesn't get blocked. But the fact of the matter is those are mistakes that happened, and those mistakes resulted in the Titans being in the game. And we've said it time and again, right? Those are the kinds of mistakes that that allow bad teams to hang around, right? And even in, and then it's a whole other thing that they found themselves up by 14 points and then blew the game. But the fact of the matter is that you could make an argument that the game should never have even been that close to begin with. So, again, if they can play a clean game against the Jets, you're right. I think that's going to be the first key, is playing a clean game. Mike.
Sorry.
Somebody commented, Mike. I don't know what that's about.
But yeah, don't worry about that.
All right.
I'm getting rid of this clown who comes onto the show every single episode and just spreads false information. It's very annoying.
What is the false information?
Somebody he said that the Dolphins just signed Cam Newton.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, like it's clown behavior.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's stupid. Okay, get that guy out of here. But you should be part of the live chat. Be part of the live comments, and you get to, you know, hear fun things like Dolphins signed Cam Newton. So, anyway, regardless, you got to play a clean game on offense. That's the first key to winning this game. I think the other thing is establishing that run game and finding something on offense. You got to know that Tua might have to hold the ball a little longer than he has. And can you deal with that? That's going to be the thing. But again, the key is rushing. The key is rushing the ball. Talk about what the Dolphins need to do on defense here in a minute. But first, I want to remind everybody to go to calderalabs.com. It's getting close. We're getting close to the deadline here. If you haven't taken care of those holiday gifts, well, Caldera Lab, You're running out of time, so go to calderalab.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, get yourself some good facial creams, or get some facial creams for the man in your life. And whether you know it or not, the man in your life does need a skincare routine. Without it, you're not going to look as handsome as Aaron the Brain. I mean, and look at this guy. Look at that. Look at that face. Hold on a second. I want everybody to see this, okay? Everybody needs to see. Look at that. Look at that face, okay? Do you see that? That is Caldera Labs at... the wink, baby! CalderaLab.com, promo code DolphinsTalk. You're going to save 20% off your order. You're going to glow. You're going to look good. You're going to look younger. And again, you got to remember, if you don't think Aaron the Brain looks good, when I tell you that he's 176 years old, you'll understand the work that Caldera Lab is doing. So make sure you head on over there. All right. Brain. Last time out, the Dolphins went up against Tim Boyle, who the Jets had decided couldn't possibly be worse than Zach Wilson, only to find out that he could, in fact, be worse than Zach Wilson. So now, we get Zach Wilson back. And Zach Wilson has the best half of his life in the second half of that game last week against the Houston Texans and leads the Jets to a 30-6 victory at home against the Houston Texans. Now he's coming on the road to Miami to take on the Miami Dolphins. A Miami Dolphins team that, as of now, we do not know whether or not Javon Holland is going to be well enough to play. He says he's feeling good about it, but we don't know. Deshaun Elliott, as of Thursday night, remains in the concussion protocol. Considering that he didn't go into the concussion protocol until Monday night, I feel it's highly unlikely that Deshaun Elliott is going to play. My understanding is that it was him being out of the game and having Brandon Jones as your main safety late in the game that directly contributed to the lack of communication, to the communication breakdown that led to the Titans getting those two late scores and driving right down the field on the Dolphins. So the Dolphins desperately could use Javon Holland back in action, and not only because Javon Holland had a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown in the first meeting between these two teams. They need him back because he's a great communicator and he takes care of business, you know, playing center field for the Miami Dolphins. Xavien Howard is dealing with a hip injury. I would frankly be surprised if he didn't play after he suffered the injury early in that game and then came back and played the whole game. So I'd be surprised if he wasn't active, but you never know. Of course, the Dolphins just signed Melvin Ingram to the practice squad. He may play. Maybe we'll see a bit more JPP in this game. But, Brain, defensively, the Dolphins need to stop Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson from winning this game, right? If you can, as the Miami Dolphins say, all right, Zach Wilson, you can beat us, but you have to beat us with somebody other than Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. Can the Jets do it? What do you think?
Well, it's up to the Dolphins whether they want to play, because it's essentially the same game plan that you had last week against the Titans when you needed to stop DeAndre Hopkins and you needed to stop Derrick Henry. And largely you did that for the entire football game until you started playing prevent and all of a sudden, you know, we're just allowing DeAndre Hopkins to run free, wide open throughout the middle of the field. Aside from the one play that DeAndre Hopkins got away with offensive pass interference on Xavien Howard, he was largely kept in check, and the Titans offense was largely kept in check for the entire game, without that. So I'm not so concerned. The Dolphins defense did a great job on them the last time these two teams played. Great, but you got to come out and play. You've got to bring pressure on Zach Wilson. You got to make him feel you, and you've got to continue to win on the early downs to get them into these third and long situations. And if you do that, I think they should have no trouble slowing the Jets down and keeping the Jets to maybe one or two scoring drives. And at the end of the day, that should be enough to win a football game. So I fully expect them to do it. Obviously, it's more difficult when you don't have a Javon Holland in the game. If you don't have Deshaun Elliott and you are having to rely on Elijah Campbell and Brandon Jones back there. But again, similarly to the offense, you know, having to on the fly have players step into roles because Tyreek Hill wasn't in the game. Well, when you've got guys stepping into roles on the defense that they didn't take reps for, you know, all week or really all season, then they're going to be shakier when it comes to game time. You hope that they get the reps in. They obviously correct the mistakes. They're going to be hungry. I would hope that this Dolphins team comes out and plays angry. That's what I'm hoping for. Because if this team comes out and plays angry, focused football, even if this is not the prettiest win, they'll get the job done. Because injuries, even with the injuries that they have, the Dolphins are still a far superior team to the New York Jets based on the players that are going to be on the field. And that's regardless of whether Tyreek Hill plays or Javon Holland plays or any of these guys. Even with those injuries, the Dolphins are the superior football team. They have this game at home, so you just got to get the job done.
That's absolutely right. So for me, I think the other key defensively is getting pressure on Zach Wilson, and you just got to make him uncomfortable. You got to make him uncomfortable. This is a guy, we've seen it time and time again. He's prone to making mistakes, and you got to make him make mistakes. You got to force him into errors, take advantage of them. If the defense has to go out there and score some points, so be it. The Dolphins defense has scored a touchdown in three consecutive games. So if they've got to go out there and do it again, I'm fine with it. Go out there and score more points. And because, as you said, Brain, here's the thing. Narratives are forming. And narratives exist based on a body of evidence. Okay? And the narrative that has played out for the Miami Dolphins time and time again is that when December rolls around, this team fails to rise to the occasion. They did it last year. Nate obviously did it in this game on Monday night against the Tennessee Titans. They failed to rise to the occasion. So now, with four games left in the season, and mind you, still is a team that completely controls their own destiny. Okay? They completely control their own destiny for the one seed. They control their own destiny for the AFC East, okay? And they control their own destiny for the AFC East no matter what happens, right? We don't want to talk about the alternatives if they should, God forbid, lose this game. But regardless of what happens, the Dolphins know they're going to go into Week 18, and if they win that game, they're the AFC East champions. Whatever. Narratives have formed. And I hear people, our newest contributor here at Dolphins Talk, Marissa Marino, shared a post on Twitter today. She shared a post from, it was, I guess, a screenshot of something from that Colin Cowherd had said. And Colin Cowherd had said something like the Dolphins are the spray tan of the NFL in that they look good for a little while, but eventually they go away. And she was making a comment, you know, quote tweeting that image, that she was so disappointed that was his take. And I replied, and I was like, the thing is, he's not wrong. Given the evidence that we have, the Miami Dolphins fade at the end of the season, right? They faded at the end of the season last year when they had, when they were in really strong position. They ended up, you know, needing an ugly win in the final week of the season in order to get into the playoffs and go to Buffalo for that playoff game, which, granted, they almost won, but they didn't win. This year, they find themselves in a stronger position in a weaker AFC and tripped up against the Tennessee Titans. And here's the thing. This team now has an opportunity to stare that narrative in the face and say, this ain't us. We're not that team. Like Tua said in the press conference right after the game on Monday night last week, he said, we are not that same Dolphins team that everybody thinks about. Well, you know what? Prove it. Prove it. The first step of proving it is going out and winning this game against the Jets. Because if you don't, and I don't care what the scenario is, I don't care if Tyreek doesn't play, if Devon Achane doesn't play, if Tua, God forbid, were to get hurt again and not finish the game, I don't care what the situation is. If this team doesn't go out on Sunday and defeat the New York Jets, that drumbeat is going to be deafening, that this team just cannot do it when it matters most. Because this is the easiest game they have left. Quite frankly, it's the easiest game left on the schedule. And it was always going to come down to those three games. We were always looking at those three games. And yes, the thing that was giving people hope was the idea that the Dolphins could come into those three games knowing that the AFC East was already wrapped up. And they could do with those three games whatever they wanted, right? And they would be the proving ground, but the stakes would be a little bit lower because they could have already had clinched playoffs, clinched the division. And now we get here and it's like, well, if you don't win this game on Sunday, those three games are now games that you cannot afford to lose. And you're going to have... If you're the kind of person that doesn't like the idea that this show is called the same old Dolphin show, if you're the kind of person that swears that this team is not the same old Dolphins, and you were saying that in September, because I will remind you once again that we have people, as we do every September and October, tell us that we need to change the name of our show. And we always tell you, no, let's see what this team does in December. Well, here we are. You want to prove you're not the same old Dolphins, you go out there and the first step is winning this game against the Jets. Winning this game against the Jets isn't going to do it by itself, but it's going to be a step in the right direction. And again, the entire narrative that is forming after the Dolphins crumbled against Tennessee could completely shift backwards. Buffalo could lose to Dallas. Baltimore could lose to Jacksonville. Miami could beat the Jets and we could go we could wake up Monday morning back as the one seed in the AFC. But the most important part is that the Dolphins have to beat the Jets on Monday. They have to. Because if they don't, just like a house of cards, it's going to be all falling apart.
Completely agree. This is the time to we're in a crisis right now. We didn't expect to be in this crisis, but with the bad loss, the injuries mounting up, the schedule that is to come, you've got to turn this thing around, and you've got to turn this thing around right now. You cannot let this thing linger. I firmly believe, and I've said, even when things were at their heights with this team, my thought on them was this team needs home field advantage to really accomplish their goals. And make no mistake about it, the goal is to win a championship. It's not to win a playoff game, because this team's best opportunity to win a championship in this winning window may very well be this year. I firmly believe that it is this year that is their best opportunity. And so you've got to seize this opportunity. And hopefully guys will get healthier, as we get down the stretch. We'll see on that, but you've got to focus on what you can control. And right now you have a gift. The gift is you just played your worst game of the season and you get a bad football team coming to your place. And I don't care that the Jets have a great defense, because they do, and I'll give them their due for that. They are still a bad football team. They are a 5-8 football team coming to your house. You want to be considered a Super Bowl contender? I don't want to hear about you're scared that Buffalo is going to catch you in the division when Buffalo is 7-7 or whatever they are, 7-6. I don't want to hear about we're scared that we're going to lose to the, like, if you cannot win a home game against a 5-8. Let me digress. If you lose back-to-back home games against a 4-8 team and then a 5-8 team in December, you ain't championship worthy. And so it's time. It's time to make amends, because if the Dolphins would have played football for 3 more minutes on Monday night, we would have supreme confidence going into this football game. Well, let's not take that 3 minutes and turn that into 63 minutes and turn that into our first 2-game losing streak of the season, because the Dolphins have lost some big games and every single one of them has stung. That Bills game stung a lot because it was like, okay, maybe we're frauds. We got our asses handed to us. Then we played Philadelphia and we lost that game by 2 touchdowns, but we kind of felt like, eh, we were close. It was in Philly. The refs weren't really jiving with us. So there were a lot of excuses, but at the end of the day, you lost the game by 2 touchdowns and you had the whole country saying you were frauds. Then you played a game against Kansas City a few weeks later and you largely outplayed them, but you still found a way to lose the game. Kind of similar to what just happened on Monday night. All of those losses stung, but you know what happened? The Dolphins didn't let that snowball on them like it has in years past. But now we're in December. Don't let that 3 minutes of bad football turn into 63 minutes of bad football. Get yourself a win. Turn this thing around. Look, I get chastised a lot for, you know, not really rooting for my team, not really breaking out the Dolphins apparel for the show. But this is a big game on Sunday, so I broke out the Dolphin shirt for this podcast tonight. I am repping my team, and I'm saying it is time to rally around these guys. What happened on Monday sucked. We all know it sucked. They know it sucked. Turn this thing around, and let's get a freaking win over the... You know, let's get a fucking win against the fucking Jets, because it's Fuck the Jets week! I can cuss!
Wow. Brain is fired up. I'm fired up. Let's go. Here's a factoid for you. The Dolphins have scored more than 40 points 3 times this season, Brain. In week 3 of this season, the Dolphins defeated the Denver Broncos 70-20. The following week, they lost 48-20 in Buffalo. 2 weeks later, they defeated the Carolina Panthers 42-21. The very next week, they lost 31-17 to the Philadelphia Eagles. 2 weeks ago, the Miami Dolphins defeated the Washington Commanders 45-15. The next week, they lost at home to the Tennessee Titans, 28-27. But here's the thing. After losing to the Bills, they bounced back with a 31-16 victory over the New York Giants. When they lost to the Eagles, they bounced back with a 31-17 victory over the New England Patriots. And when they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, they bounced back with a 20-13 victory over the Raiders. So now that they've lost to the Titans, they need to bounce back yet again, this time with a victory over the New York Jets. And with that said, it is now time for our hashtag One Hot Take. This is where we ask you to give us your one hot take for Jets at Dolphins. So if you're watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, if you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, let us know in the comments, what is your one hot take for Jets at Dolphins this Sunday? Brain, I'm going to let you go first.
My hot take is that Tua Tagovailoa will play not just a clean game, but will also throw 2 touchdown passes and no interceptions. You are going to get a zoned in, locked in Tua. I don't think it's always going to be pretty. I don't think he's going to throw for 350 yards or anything crazy, But I think Tua is going to have an efficient football game. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions.
I love it. I put the question out onto Twitter earlier today, and here are some of the answers that we got. Dolphins Talk says, Dolphins have 200 yards rushing with 4 backup offensive linemen on Sunday. Politically, Finn Correct says Miami will have a 23-0 lead before the offense even takes the field. Jets fumble, opening kickoff, Dolphins recover in the end zone, pick 6 on the next possession, then a safety, and the free kick is returned for a touchdown.
Love it.
That is a strong take, and I love it. Let's see. Jorge GM says Braxton Berrios touchdown against his old disgusting team. I am D fan says Dolphins play angry and win by 40. There are quite a few negative ones out here, like this one from bomb underscore shot. Well, I don't know if it's negative, but he just says Jets send all out blitz on every play. Here is a negative one from Sal Tumbarello, MD. Jets set the single game record for sacks versus a Walmart offensive line. And then this one is from Brandon, who says they're going to win, and I'm looking at flights to Vegas again like the Titans never happened. All right. Let's see. Here's one from Bobby B. The hot take is Josh will finally tell us the name / artist of the song to the intro video. Well, and he's talking specifically about Rooting for the Dolphins, and I can tell you, I can reveal that information.
I think
the
he's
song
talking
is called We're Rooting for the Dolphins, and Rooting is spelled R-O-O-T apostrophe N. We're Rooting for the Dolphins, and the artist is Abe Thomas and the Family Singers.
Was he talking about that song, or was he talking about
No, he's Hansel talking about that one. He said he figured out Roomba while Super Bowl.
Oh, okay, there we go.
From Rich Miller, says the Dolphins will start pulling fans out of the stands to play offensive line. Yowza. Let's see. Real Miami Sports says we're going to score a touchdown with a passing play on a short yardage situation and then never run the ball again for the rest of the season. That is a hot take. Let's see. Make Throwbacks Permanent says if the Dolphins lose, it's because of the uniforms. Justin says we run the football inside the 5. And this one from LUFCLS25. So we got a fan of Leeds United in the comments. Says Dolphins don't pass the ball all day. They run it 75 times for 631 yards, lose 9-6 in overtime. That is a take. That is a take. And then we got Faceplant Into Rock, who says Jets by 20. Judd Sanders says Ramsey has 2 interceptions. Conan Dunham says first team to 17 wins. Ben Turnbull says Miami converts a 4th-and-1 with a rushing attempt. And Michael says Jeff Wilson will rush for at least 60 yards. A lot of good takes here. A lot of good takes here. I will, let's see what we got here in the chat. I haven't seen. Brain, we got any in the chat here? Let's see.
Well, Cap for Life stole your take.
Oh, well, I'll give you mine, but here's one. Durham Smythe touchdown. I like that one from Jordan Murray. Douglas Potter, feeling particularly down, says Dolphins lose out, end up 9-8, no playoffs. It's a possibility.
Jeff Harris says, my one hot take is that we see the Brain fired up on your next show and wearing a Dolphins jersey because the Dolphins get a win.
I love it. I love it. Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. I'll give you my one hot take. Going to change it up. Tua Tagovailoa rushing touchdown.
Let's go.
From 15 yards out. A 15-yard Tua scramble for a touchdown. That's my one hot take this week. I'm changing it up, which of course means we'll get the receiving touchdown for Alec Ingold this week. But changing it up. Changing it up because it's time. So here we go. We're here. There's a million things you could say, but at the end of the day, they have to win the game. They absolutely must beat the New York Jets. I mean, if for no, and listen, it's still possible that if they beat the Jets that things could still go off the rails. Plenty of time. But in my mind, for me to have any kind of faith that this team has got more than one postseason game in them, they have to win this game. Because if they don't win this game against the Jets, I mean, listen, and yes, it's possible they could lose this game to the Jets and then somehow figure something out in those final three games of the season. Because as I said at the top of the show, the fact of the matter is they could lose to the Jets, to the Cowboys, to the Ravens, and then still come home and beat the Buffalo Bills and win the AFC East. And not only do they make the playoffs, they get a home playoff game. There are so many permutations of things that could happen. But for the morale of the Miami Dolphins fan base, for the spirit of this team, and they football players and athletes will tell you that they don't think about the implications. It's all one game. They take it day by day. You can't tell me there's a single guy on that football team that was also on that team last year that isn't going to start second-guessing everything if they lose this game to the Jets. As I said, when the Titans were rolling, driving down the field for their first of the two late touchdowns, I made a comment that it would be completely unacceptable for the Dolphins to lose that game from the position that they were in. And it is. It remains completely unacceptable that they ended up losing that game. If they lose this game to the Jets, it's completely unacceptable, especially given all that they are hoping to do this year. I'll close with one other anecdote here, Bryn, which is that somebody on Twitter today said that this is their first year on Twitter. And they can't imagine how the people on Twitter handled cheering for some of those sub-500 teams when they're seeing the kind of meltdown that is happening with a team that is 9-4. And what I said was that it's actually fairly simple. Because when those teams were sub-500, and those teams were losing, and those teams were mediocre and bad, there were no expectations. This team, this year, has legitimate expectations. And yes, there are people who will tell you that during those lean years where Brian Flores and Adam Gase were the head coach, that they did have expectations and that they thought this team was a chip. These were not championship caliber teams. Okay, those were not teams, those were not years where you were going in thinking this is the year for the Miami Dolphins, this is when it's going to happen. And when there were expectations, those teams typically fell apart pretty early.
Usually week 10 or 11 the season. Yeah. That's when you had your heartbreak.
This team has brought something to the table and made you believe that it is real. And that it is for real, and it is a legitimate threat to do it. And so when that team, a team that you had real aspirations for, a team that you legitimately believed could go into the playoffs, not just as a team that was going to host a playoff game, but to potentially have the entire road to the Super Bowl through the AFC come through your building. For that team to lose that game the way that they did is what caused this meltdown. And if you thought that was bad, if they lose this game to the Jets, dear God. Dear God. But you know what I have to say about that? Fuck the Jets. Fuck the Jets. Fuck the fucking Jets. Fuck the Jets. Fuck the Jets. Fuck the fucking Jets. Fuck the Jets. Fuck the Jets. Fuck the Jets.
Fuck the Jets.
Brain, any closing words from you?
No, I think we should leave it with fuck the Jets. I think that accentuates it perfectly.
It's a perfect place to leave it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Follow us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. We appreciate every single one of you. It's the holiday season. We're very, very grateful to have you lending us your ears for a couple hours each week. It's truly appreciated. And yeah, you know, I've got a specific way that I close the show, but I'm not going to do it this week. Brain? Fuck the Jets.
Fuck the Jets and make them humble.